The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. Today on Town Matters, we're going to start a special series of question and answer sessions with the mayor, Robin Schick. Well, Robin, welcome.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Good, good. We're hoping to do this as a regular thing. We asked listeners to send us questions in advance of things that they would like Mayor Schick to respond to. And so we have that list of questions, and there were enough that we're probably not going to get to all of them this month, but we are going to do this as a regular thing. So if you sent a question in and you don't hear it on this show, it'll probably get used in a future show. And we've already discovered just in our pre-talk today that some of these questions could be an entire show unto themselves. So we're going to have to figure out how we do that, because some of these are complicated issues that the town is dealing with. So I'll start with maybe something simpler and easier, just to get us rolling. The town council recently announced that they approved the purchase of new trash cans for residents. Can you talk to me a little bit about what the thinking is behind that, and why is it right that like everybody in town is going to get a trash can that the town provides them?
Pretty much. Before I get into answer on that question, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to answer citizen questions. I think some people would like a town hall, and I'm happy to do that too. But this really is convenient way to get people answers that they're looking for, and they have multiple time slots to listen to it on air or on your website anytime they want. And can submit any question they want. So I just really appreciate that.
Great. So trash cans. Everybody gets a free, you get a trash can.
It's like Oprah Winfrey.
Exactly.
Yes and no. So pretty much everybody's going to get a toter, which is a very specific brand of trash can that comes with a very high warranty and is a very well-made trash can. And there's three reasons why this program is rolled out. The first reason is safety. Loose trash in bags sitting by the side of the road gets into by rodents. It attracts rodents. It's also can be picked up by, you know, kids, or things can come out of those trash bags as they bust. So there's a lot of safety items related with this, as well as our just employee safety. The guys were lifting trash cans that did not, if they're not this particular kind of trash can, they don't fit on the hydraulic lift of the trash truck. And so they were having to physically handle the trash cans and the weight associated with them of that.
So these are trash cans that are designed to fit on the truck, and the truck actually lifts them with a hydraulic lift and dumps them into the truck, saving the guys from doing all that lifting off there. And I assume they have wheels that they roll them to the lift, so there's no lifting involved for the workers.
And they have more substantial wheelbases too. So oftentimes when I ran the trash truck myself, a lot of people's wheels are broken. A lot of trash cans are broken. A lot of the cans maybe don't have working handles anymore or lids. And all of those things are hazardous as well. So a big part of this is improving safety around trash. The next part of it is sustainability of the program. People have an expectation. I certainly have had an expectation for the town to provide trash service. It's one of the reasons that I live in town, is these additional services that you get when you live within a town community like that. We were financing trash trucks in the past longer than their lifespan. Mm. So that's not smart financially, right? So we should not be financing trash trucks. We should be creating a capital fund that anticipates the replacement of a trash truck, which has like a 7 to 9 year lifespan on it because they're used every single day, stop and go, stop and go, stop and go the whole way time. And, you know, have a lot of tonnage to them. And they're very expensive to fix. And you always have to have a backup. So you're really replacing a truck every 4 years or so because you're getting the replacement truck for the next 7 year lifespan. And so on and so forth. So this is a 5-year program.
And the old one becomes your backup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so this is a 5-year kind of test run. So sustainability in the trash program itself, like financially, was an important part of this. And then the third part of the trash can program is service. The town provides a high quality trash service. In order to keep it a municipal service and not eventually be at the point of privatization, right, which is another route to go with this, we needed to get this cost and the financing under control and be anticipating those expenditures and doing that smartly. And privatization is more expensive. I mean, we found that when we were looking at this trash service, how to get the toters, pay for the toters, anticipate the cost of the new truck when we have to do a replacement schedule. And we are going to be charging $10 a month, which is really $30 quarterly on your water and sewer bill for your trash service. And no private service was doing it that cheap. We are able to provide a quality service, keep all of our public works employees, better sustainability, and at a lower cost than privatization. So, and this is going to hopefully sustain this program for a long-term future for our residents. But this is it right now as a 5-year test run to make sure that that all can happen.
Okay, so that's the other shoe that I was going to ask you about, which is basically people's water and sewer bill is going to go up by $30 per bill to pay for this program.
We don't want to add a separate billing structure for a $10 fee.
Right.
I think there was a misconception that people thought that their water and sewer bills were paying for trash service. It was really just a part of our general fund, which is tax revenues and all kinds of other revenues mixed in. It wasn't a water and sewer fee. And so that was paying for trash because those have their own accounts and their own accounting.
Right. But what you're doing now is you're separating trash service from the general fund of property taxes and sales tax and whatever other income you have. You're now saying, no, this is a specific fund that's going to be funded by this $30 per quarter, and that's what's going to pay for the trash pickup, the new trucks, the toters.
Yeah, that's the goal. In this first year of budgeting, because this is the rollout of the program, it's still technically in the general fund as we get to that financing separation. But yeah, that's the point, is that it will be sustainable.
Those $30 fees are going to go into a separate accounting in which, when you get enough, you'll be able to buy a new truck.
Yeah, and we won't be financing a new truck when we know every 4 years we have to buy one.
Yeah.
And that's easily
interest on it, I suspect.
Exactly. We'll be saving money on the interest and all those things. Yep.
Okay. Well, that makes it makes sense. So everybody get every house, I guess, gets every address will get a toter. And then, just out of curiosity, is what happens if a toter does break or blows away in a storm or whatever? Do people then have to ask for one and pay?
Yeah, so there'll be a flyer that comes out in your water sewer bill in the coming months, and probably also one that comes to your house through the trash service that is explaining a lot of questions people have. Mm-hmm. There'll also be a section on the website that will explain some more questions. And this is one of those topics we could talk about for 30 minutes because there are a lot of questions about it. And so we know that, and every residential household is mandatory. There is an opt-out for commercial or multifamily units, like townhouses that have HOAs that may use like a dumpster service. And so there are opt-outs for that, but it's not a new requirement that everyone in Colonial Beach, in the town, has to have trash service.
That brings a point. This topic and pretty much all of the topics that we're going to discuss, more information is always going to be available on the town's website, isn't it?
Yeah, colonialbeachva.gov, G-O-V, is the town's website. And this one is, you can just type in the search bar there, trash toter, and you'll get some information up. But like I said, there's be a flyer that comes to your house, and we will be tagging. If you have a toter already, we will be putting the Colonial Beach logo on it, and you can still continue to use that toter. But you will also get a new toter that is part of the program.
Okay.
So we're going to kind of grandfather people who do have these into the system. Anybody who doesn't have one will get a brand new one too. And, you know, the rollout is not until, you won't get the cans until late summer. You won't get the billing until October. So we still have months ahead of us as we sift through the details of this.
And I was just thinking about buying a new trash can. Now I won't do that.
Do not do that. Do not do that, because you'll get one very soon.
Yeah, that's great. One of the other hot button topics that we got several questions on was parking. So maybe we can spend a little bit of time talking about parking. The first item I had was parking passes. It used to be that just like your golf cart, for your car, everybody was supposed to go to town hall and purchase a parking sticker that made it legal for them to have their car in Colonial Beach and park it anywhere without paying parking fees. But my understanding is now they're not issuing them for cars. They are still doing it for golf carts, but not for cars. You want to talk a little bit about what's going on there?
Sure, yeah. If you've ever went to town hall to get your town sticker, you would probably know what an antiquated and burdensome process that was. I myself had forgot my registration one time. I got to go back home. I got to go get my registration. It has to be listed jurisdiction, garaged in the town of Colonial Beach. If you don't have that, you have to get it on the DMV website and change it. Then you still have to provide all these things. And
I went through that. The whole, you can't say Westmoreland County
on
your registration.
It has to be garaged in town of Colonial Beach.
Yeah.
So the whole process, though, is very burdensome to the finance department, which has a lot of other tasks to be working on as well. And so we were just trying to update these processes, automate as many of the things that in today's world, honestly, it's normalized for them to be automated. And in order to do this, we had to improve the technology that we had. The sticker, the town sticker, which gives you the free parking, is actually something called a vehicle license fee by the state of Virginia. And all localities have vehicle license fees. The county has a vehicle license fee. The town has a vehicle license fee. Many other counties and towns have vehicle license fees. Not all of them come with a free parking perk. So the town of Colonial Beach was a little bit unique in how to handle this, because our vehicle license fee comes with this free parking
benefit.
You know, benefit, yeah. And the county's vehicle license fee doesn't come with any benefit. You just pay it, right? So we had to navigate how to have registration of the vehicles and know that they were a town vehicle in order to not ticket them with our parking system while also collecting the fee. And that required new equipment for the police department, which is an automated scanner and the Flowbird app and the Flowbird system that we use through the pay stations, which is all automated now. You can pay for parking via text message now or through the app.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the pay station, right? We have a dozen pay stations, but you don't have to. It's so much easier now than it was.
And the scanner is just scanning your license plate. So as long as they know your license plate number, they know.
And if your vehicle is registered as garaged in the town of Colonial Beach and you paid a personal property bill for that vehicle to the town, then your license plate is automatically uploaded into the Flowbird system, which then allows the police department, when they scan your vehicle, it tells them you're a town citizen. So there were a lot of pieces involved to get to that point. And so now the decal, as people have been calling it for years and years, which is really just the vehicle license fee, will just be on your personal property tax bill, which is how it is at most other places.
But there's no more window sticker.
No more window sticker. No more sticker for vehicles. Now, golf carts follow by a completely different set of rules, and you still have to have an inspection and come in and get a sticker for the golf cart. I think there's been some confusion about the date of the golf cart sticker. So when we automated this whole vehicle licensing fee and the personal property tax billing, it's on a January to December financial statement.
Okay.
So our parking decals have been April to end of March, right? So we had to readjust that to be a January to December time period. It's technically now the decal or the parking vehicle fee is a January to December, but no parking enforcement goes into place until April 1st. So even if you didn't get your golf cart sticker by December 31st, there's no penalty until April 1st.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. So, I mean, because I was going to say, most people mothball their golf carts for the winter, and they don't bring them out till April.
Right.
And so it made sense that that was when everybody was required to get the new sticker, because that's when they're blowing the dust off the golf cart and starting to use it again. And what you're saying is basically, even though the sticker is January to December, you're not going to enforce anything until April anyway. So it's going to work the same way.
Yeah. The golf cart process is exactly the same as it's been.
One of the other questions we were asked about parking was, it used to be parking passes. If you didn't live in town, you could purchase a year-long parking pass, even though you weren't registered in Colonial Beach, because maybe you're somebody from out of town who comes here a lot. Apparently, they've done away with that program.
Basically, we weren't selling any of them. They were $300 a year if you were an out-of-town person, and you could pay it and you could get a parking pass in Colonial Beach. And I think it was like less than seven. Maybe it was like one or two, actually. I mean, it was very, very low.
So there was no demand.
There was no demand for the program. If you came frequently, then we also have two free lots now as well, free parking areas. And most of the time, those have spaces available. So one of them is, and there's a parking brochure. It's been updated this year.
And again, if you go to the website,
I know we have a much better website than we used to. Please go to the website. If you go to the website and you click right on the homepage, beaches and parking. I mean, it's just one of the icons, like right on ColonialBeachVA.gov's homepage. And you'll see there's a brochure. If you scroll down there, there's a brochure about it. And it will show you where the parking areas are. We have two lots, one on Hawthorne Street next to the Colonial Beach Museum. Mm-hmm. That is free all the time.
Okay.
And then one lot that is on North Irving that is after the old police station and school board building on North Irving, across from the rear of Doc's Motor Court.
Yes.
And that will
was
also
just repaved.
Yes. And that will also be free.
Okay.
So those two areas are totally free all the time, 24/7. Parking off season, which starts October 1st, is free also all off season, October 1st through March 30th. So, you know, we're trying.
Oh, you're saying parking on the street all over town becomes free after October?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. After October. And there's also handicap. If you have a handicap placard or a Purple Heart, you are free to park anywhere. Free anywhere. And all the other specifics of the parking program are on the website.
Send people to the website.
Yeah. But there's a lot of really helpful information there. And that annual season pass for non-residents just really wasn't getting used the way we had put it there to try to see if that worked out.
Right. Just wasn't a thing people wanted. Or at least not enough people.
They just weren't utilizing it. Yeah.
And then obviously parking is a hot button issue in this town, I think. And people seeing all the development that's happening and all the growth that's happening. Phase 4 of the Dawson Project, which has not gone through yet, but is in planning, included selling them what is now a parking lot. And as I understand it, that fourth phase is now kind of on hold as you reassess how you're going to deal with one less parking area.
Sure. So the Dawson project is a four-phase development project that we have been taking very methodically through each step, one step at a time. And that's really important because I don't think you want to get too far ahead of yourself on any of these things. Mm-hmm. When the timing is right, when things are going to work, I think that will come together seamlessly, you know, in the end. You don't want to force it, right?
So to be clear, that parking lot has not yet been sold.
No, yeah, that parking lot is still in the town inventory. It is our largest municipal parking lot. It is on Wilder Avenue, and it has two kiosks at it and new signage. So, yes, that is still owned by the town and not sold to Dotson at this time. Now, there is a development schedule, and we're working with that, but Dotson also sees the parking concerns and hears that and wants to be a part of that solution. They've been very open about that. And so I think there will be negotiations about what's the best opportunity with that lot and what's going to work for them and what's going to work for the town. There's also a lot of moving pieces to these things, including the rescue squad building on a new facility on Colonial Avenue. They're fundraising for that right now. I really encourage you to support the Colonial Beach Volunteer Rescue Squad and their fundraising for that new facility, which will house overnight medics, which is great so that we can provide better medical emergency services here in town. Their current building is just not capable of doing that. But that current building and land that the rescue squad is on is municipally owned and is one block from down, you know, right in that downtown region. It's also on Wilder Avenue. So we have to be stay open-minded, I think, about all of the opportunities that these moving pieces can play a part of in this need.
Okay, so bottom line is, it's a work in progress and you don't have the answer yet.
Yeah.
Because discussions are still happening. You're looking at options and figuring it out.
Yeah, we all want to do what's best outcome to provide for a thriving downtown that is going to provide parking.
But what you're also telling me is everybody realizes that parking is a concern and you are looking at it. Your eyes are open here. You're not just blindly going forward.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we're looking for innovative solutions too that fit with our community.
I think I know the answer to this, but would a parking garage be something the town would consider?
All options are on the table.
Okay. Sounds expensive, but...
Yeah, I think if a parking garage would ever come to fruition, it would be a P3 project, which is like a partnership, public-private partnership. It wouldn't be at the town's sole expense kind of deal. It would have to be sustainable. I mean, you don't want to discount, though, or just ignore any possible viable option. The stars would have to align on that one.
In a related question... One listener wrote in and said, a number of private residences have no parking signs in front of their homes with threats of towing unauthorized vehicles. Are these legal and authorized by the town? And if not, can the town require that the signs be removed? That was a question from John Murphy.
Yeah, that's a great question. In some cases, the answer is going to be yes, the town can require they be removed. In other cases, the answer to that may be no. It depends on where the signs are located, public right-of-way, and a whole bunch of other requirements about signage and freedom of speech, even according to Supreme Court rulings. And it's a complicated question. I wish it was a little bit simpler. But the important part about this question is, what do you do as a citizen about it if it concerns you? And so we have a new work order process for citizen concerns of this style. And I want you to go to the website again and click on forms. So again, right on the homepage, there is an icon for forms, and then you're going to click on online submittable community enhancement investigation request.
That's a mouthful. Community enhancement
Investigation request. It's a form there that you then fill out for any potential violation that you see in the neighborhood or around. It will then get investigated. Sometimes we will be able to do something about that. We may not be able to do something about that. In either way, we should be getting back to you. So it's a new process, and I really encourage people to submit their concerns this way so that it is filed correctly into the work order system. Just coming to me on the street and telling me offhandedly about a concern you have, you know, I would have to also fill this same complaint form out. So it's best to come firsthand from the person who is seeing or understanding what the complaint is. Also, pictures are very helpful, and you can upload a photo in the complaint form. Having a very good description of what is happening that you're concerned about is important.
I mean, the bottom line here is for this is like a work order ticketing system. And correct. For each one of these, the town is going to track it. The town is going to look into it and get back to you. And if they have more questions about it, if you haven't been thorough in your description, they're going to come back and say, well, what do you mean by this? Or can you explain this or what have you?
Yeah. And you can submit the violation or the concern anonymously. But if you want to be able to provide more context, we're going to need your contact information to really follow up on it.
So that there were a couple of questions related to that sort of thing. One of them was apparently the question was, is the boardwalk and beach beginning at Potomac River Avenue and Maryland Avenue public? And if so, when will the no trespassing signs be removed? There is a lot of confusion about this area of the beach. Apparently, a citizen who lives along the public boardwalk has decided that it's his property and has put no trespassing signs up in that area, is what I'm hearing. I haven't seen it myself. And again, this is a situation where you're saying, fill out this form on the website and the town will investigate it.
Yeah.
And
submit a picture.
And a picture would be very helpful. And if this person is violating any ordinances or laws, then the town will let them know.
Yeah, I think in that particular complaint, some of those signs may even be on Dominion power poles, which are not town power poles. So now Dominion Power may have to get included in the complaint process.
So now you're putting your signs on somebody else's property, not even just town property.
These things can get complicated so quickly.
Another one for the ticketing system. The fenced off area on the boardwalk across from the riverboat where they store their gas is a real eyesore. Can the town require them to repair the fence and clean up the area?
Yeah, I think that one's probably a very normal complaint type of thing that we have. Utilities do need to be fenced or screened from public view. So I'm going to submit that one to the form.
So that's a situation where it sounds like they may be in violation of certain ordinances about having a fence around the tanks if the fence is falling down. Mm-hmm. And so creating that ticket would start a process where it would get resolved.
Right. We're going to work with property owners too. So want to let people know that too, in case they're concerned about getting ticketed, that our first goal is to work with you and we will try to resolve it, you know, amicably in that way first. And we're going to give you some time to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The goal is to fix the problem, not to slap people on the wrist for breaking the rules.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. A little while ago, we were talking about the water bills. One listener wrote in and asked, what is happening with the water meters and when can we expect to start getting billed for the water we use instead of a flat fee?
It has been explained to me for years, and this goes back to Mayor Ham, when the water meter project was being implemented, that the quarterly flat fee would never go away and that it would really just be setting a minimum and a usage amount that's included with that fee. And that more likely what would happen is that then there is an overage limit if you are excessively using water. And that would be tied to the meter system. That has not been implemented yet. It is still under evaluation about what those limitations would be, like what the capacity, what the usage amounts would be in order to set those rates. And it's very unlikely, I just think it's important to be honest about this, that it's probably unlikely for the water bill to ever go down because the cost of maintaining the plant, the equipment, and quality water and sewer service is always going to continue to rise. And so we're trying to control any cost, rising cost in that. We're spending $2.5 million on replacing water and sewer infrastructure right now, which is funded by ARPA funds, state and federal funds. That is not your taxes didn't go up and your water bill didn't go up because of that project. That is all funded by ARPA. And we also received an allocation of like $5.2 million from the state and DEQ funds for additional water and sewer infrastructure needs. The needs in those kinds of utilities are massive.
But the question being asked here is, when are we going to actually use the water meters?
Yeah, we're using them now.
But for billing.
Yeah, for billing. Yeah,
do we know when that's going to happen?
I don't have a timeline on that right this second as far as when that's going to happen. The Public Works team is using that data, very importantly so, to locate leaks.
Okay.
And so that data, when we're seeing spikes in that data, we're understanding that there's probably an issue happening in there. They're probably not filling their pool up. It's probably a problem with the pipes. Mm-hmm. And we're still locating all of these potential issues. And you'd want to do that as much as possible before you implemented a fee schedule tied to the meter systems, because that could be very costly for somebody without knowing it.
Right. You know, it's just that we've had these meters now for some time. And the thought was that, you know, after a year of taking readings, that maybe they would implement the new billing system, but we haven't seen.
Yeah, we got it evaluated. Well, we really didn't finish the meter system until just a little over a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. It took a very long time, and there still are some locations outstanding for it.
Sure, there's always going to be.
Yeah, there always are. Yeah.
But I would have thought that after a year of these meters being in place, you'd now have a full year of baseline data to say, okay, this was an average year, or this is our baseline, this is our starting point. And then, you know, you can obviously tweak the system from there. But the point being, people, I think, had the impression that once you collected that data and had an idea of what it was going to be, that the billing would change to some kind of usage-based. And as you say, I understand the idea of there's a minimum, and you're always going to pay X number of dollars for service.
Right.
And then if you're a heavy user, you pay more. And that's only fair. But we haven't seen it, and we haven't even had anybody tell us some idea of when that will happen. And you're still saying we don't know.
Yeah, because when we did the evaluation for the analysis for that, for what we found was a lot of inconsistencies on the meters. And we've been having to correct where are these breakages happening that are putting the water meter usage numbers really high in certain places, fixing that, you know, to still get equalized data.
So at the very least, you're getting the benefit of now we're saving water that was
absolutely wasted. Oh yeah, okay. There's massive benefits in it, and it will continue to be a process to go towards implementing it in the billing cycle. I would like to see the cap, like you say, because it is only fair that if people are using excessive amounts of water, that, you know, they're paying for that. They're paying their fair share of that. But that's a lot of more is going into this. This is probably one of those processes that I thought was more simple than it really is. And once you get into understanding the inner workings of how utilities work and government works, you sort of get shocked sometimes about how you wish it could be simpler.
We've eaten up quite a bit of time. And
yeah, we didn't get to all the questions yet.
Of course not.
No. But we'll have another show and we'll get to more. And I'm looking forward to that too, because I think there's a lot of good questions to come. And I hope people continue to submit more questions as they listen to the show and, you know, see what it's about.
And let's just touch upon the one topic that we felt like we couldn't do justice in one show, which is talking about the growth that is happening here in town, and just let everybody know that we are aware that everybody is concerned about how the town is growing and what shape that's going to take and what it's going to look like. It's a big, long, complex topic, but this is something you want to address, isn't it?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to addressing this. We do have our eyes open about growth. It's something that in many ways we have been planning for and are purposefully trying to do. And in other ways, there's unintended consequences of growth that you can't anticipate and that now you're dealing with. And all of those things are kind of converging for the town of Colonial Beach. It's kind of like a parking problem. What a great problem to have. Because if you didn't have a parking problem, then nobody'd be coming. And nobody would be in business, and nobody would have a job. And wouldn't we all be suffering for that? While parking challenges are challenges, and growth challenges are challenges, there's a positive aspect on that as well, because we're very fortunate to be seeing growth while many other small town communities are dying out. And so we just need to be managing it smartly, controlling it where we can, mitigating the consequences that happen unintentionally sometimes, and correcting things. And it will be an ever-changing, evolving process.
So we will cover this topic in depth, probably with a dedicated show for it. So I just wanted to let listeners know who submitted questions along those lines that it's absolutely on our agenda for this program.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I think there's a lot more intricacy within that general theme.
Great. Well, Robin Schick, thank you very much for coming into our studio today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been great to be here with you. I look forward to coming back next month.
Great. Thank you. If you'd like to submit a question for one of our future shows, send an email to townmatters@wwer.org with your question, and let us know if it's okay to identify you on the air. If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.